talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 251. I've got Will here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
Pretty good. Pretty chill.
It is our 251st episode, and we missed an episode last week because of all of the 4th of July and everything that was going on, but we're back trying to get one done this week, trying to squeeze one in before church, which is like the last possible minute to get it done. So you have now had your first kind of, well, not really, I guess it's your second job because you also worked for the election board.
Yeah, although that was just like, I don't know, I just worked for a few times and then like,
yeah, that was
all
just
day on
now
election
and then.
Day.
You've had your first kind of
like scheduled
regular
job.
Scheduled job,
yeah.
And now you have given your first 2-week notice.
Yeah, I only have a week left from now, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, so you're gonna work one more week and then take a vacation. And then pretty much when you get back from vacation, you'll have to get ready for school to start.
Yeah. Well, I'll take one more week, then I'll have like 4 or 5 days in between.
Which, yeah, you have a few days of transition.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to those days, honestly.
Yeah. You should be looking forward to your vacation, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I am, too. But
get to go to some family reunions, spend some time in the mountains.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Although, strangely, the weather here in Texas has not been bad. It's probably been better here than in a lot of places in the country.
It has been.
It's very strange because it hasn't hit 100 degrees yet, which usually it has by this time. We're a good over a week into July. And we haven't even hit like 90 degrees very often. We've been in the 80s.
I guess if you think about it, like overall, this has been like a really cold year for Texas. Like this, counting those like couple weeks where it like almost hit 0 degrees.
If you count the Texas freeze in February, then it's definitely been way low.
Yeah, and in other parts of the country, it's been like extremely hot. So
yeah, it started to get warm at the beginning of the summer, but then it's cooled down, and for the most part, it's been in the 80s, maybe low 90s, which is very strange. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's really been like a topsy-turvy year because places that are normally cold have been hot.
Like really hot.
Like Canada. There was a town in Canada that hit 122 degrees.
Yeah, and that's insane. It's like the weather has just been like flipped upside down.
Yeah, and like Seattle and Portland were hotter than Texas. In fact, there are areas in Oregon, which is normally pretty mild because especially the parts along the coast. There were places in Oregon that got hotter than it's ever been in Dallas. And Dallas gets hot every year.
That's especially crazy because like the people living there probably aren't used to that type of temperature either, like at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very strange. It's been pretty bad for some of those areas. I don't know if it's still that bad, but the weather here stayed good. I keep expecting it to get hot, but it's been nice.
Yeah, it's been nice.
You can go outside in the middle of the day and you don't feel like, you know, someone's pointing a giant magnifying glass at you.
Yeah, there definitely haven't been that many days where, like, honestly, I think the worst part of the heat is, like, at night when you get super hot in bed and, like, you just have to just try to fall asleep with, like, one sheet over yourself. I haven't really had that much this summer, which has been nice.
Yeah, luckily. And your bedroom, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but your bedroom, for whatever reason, is always the hottest when it's hot and coldest when it's cold.
Yeah. I like a cold bedroom, but yeah.
Not being able to sleep because it's hot is a bad sensation.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why you can't really go camping in Texas in the summertime usually. But, you know, you can camp in the spring and fall and winter.
Yeah. I remember during one scout camp out trying to sleep in a sleeping bag when it was like super hot. And I was just kind of paranoid about scorpions in our tent.
Yeah.
That was just miserable.
Yeah. What else is going on? I think, you know, we're well into summer. We're still waiting to hear from our exchange student. I think we talked about on the last podcast that we're going to have an exchange student come visit, live with us for the next school year from Spain. Mm-hmm. And we're just waiting on that to be finalized so we can talk to our exchange student. That should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We've been to the movie theater a few times in the last year. Not as much as we normally do because our family likes movies.
Yeah.
But we got to go back yesterday and watch a movie. It was the first time we'd seen a Marvel movie since Spider-Man Far From Home, I think.
It's been like about 2 years, which is crazy.
Yeah. You know, you and Henry, and I guess mom and dad too, are kind of all into the Marvel movies because we've seen them all.
Yeah. Like usually they release like three movies a year, but this time there's a 2 year hiatus.
And we went and saw Black Widow. And I know you've got controversial opinions about Black Widow. I liked it. I thought it was good.
I don't have like crazy controversial opinions. I don't know. I liked it overall. I just thought it was a bit, I did like it overall. Like I thought it was worth watching. It was pretty fun. I just kind of thought it was a bit like below like MCU standard.
It was interesting, and we won't get into any spoilers because the movie did just come out, but it was interesting that they told a story that takes place kind of midway through the timeline of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes place right after Civil War. When I was watching it, I was thinking it was right before Civil War, but then everyone corrected me on the way out of the movie theater and said, no, this was right after Civil War, like immediately after Civil War.
Yeah, I like how the timeline is starting to get, like, complex.
Yeah. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting to learn a little bit more about Black Widow's backstory. I thought the action sequences were really, really good. There was a lot of action in the movie.
Yeah, there was.
A lot of what I will call comic book physics or action movie physics, where, like, you know, you're falling out of a building that's collapsing, and so you, like, drag your hand along the edge of the building to slow yourself down.
Yeah.
Like, things that would never actually happen in the real world, but we're so used to seeing them in action movies that it's like, okay.
Yeah, and I don't think the movie really takes itself, like, super seriously.
Yeah.
It's just a pretty fun time. I think the best character, I think this is probably my coldest take on it, the best character is definitely Alexei, played by the guy from Stranger Things, forgot his name.
So Alexei, who's the Red Guardian, played by David Harbour.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely
good. He also had a lot of the comic relief.
Yeah.
I liked the Florence Pugh's character. So she plays, and I don't think any of this is a spoiler, but she plays the essentially adopted sister of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Is that a spoiler? I don't think that's a spoiler.
I
guess if you don't want to hear anything
about... No, that kind of is a spoiler.
If you don't want to hear anything about Black Widow, the movie, you can skip ahead. Maybe you've already done it. The concept was interesting in a comic book way, but maybe like if you think about it too much, it might sort of...
Yeah.
But that's true of every comic book movie in a way.
Yeah. I don't know. I like how... I noticed Marvel has been doing this a bit more, especially with like Loki. But I like how some of the characters were kind of like... not really like fully like good-hearted superheroes, and like some of them had done some like pretty bad stuff, but like they're still just like really fun, and like you're still like invested in them and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a part of a lot of action, a lot of comic book heroes, especially Black Widow. I mean, Black Widow's supposed to have, you know, this sort of dark past where she was an assassin working for, you know, the Soviet Union for a long time. And that's part of the history of Black Widow anyway. I thought that Rachel Weisz was really good in it. She's a really good actress. I like a lot of the movies she's been in. But she was really good. It's funny because when I started watching the movie, and again, this is mild spoiler, but if you don't want anything to be spoiled, just flip it ahead. At the very beginning of the movie, it's like a flashback that took place like in the... maybe the early 80s or something, but
I think it was the 90s.
When she first comes on the screen, I'm like, wow, that actress looks a lot like a young Rachel Weisz. And then I realized, oh, it's supposed to be Rachel Weisz when she was younger. I think they did de-aging on her, like CGI de-aging, but it was really good in this. Like, it's better than it is in most.
Yeah, movies
either are getting, that or they just did it with makeup. I don't know.
Movies are getting really, really good at de-aging. Or and like re-aging.
I thought that actress looks just like Rachel Weisz, but like way younger, because Rachel Weisz is probably like 55, 56 at least.
Oh, dang.
But she looked like she was in her 20s or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. I feel like it did kind of have like a Solo A Star Wars Story effect on me a little bit. And obviously I like this more than Solo A Star Wars Story, but, the fact that, like, Black Widow is, like, I guess Avengers Endgame spoilers, she's like dead in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So I did have to kind of think like, I don't know, does all this like really matter that much?
Yeah. Well, and she's one of the characters that, is really dead. Like she can't come back. A lot of comic book characters, it's like, they'll find a way to bring him back. Like with Vision and WandaVision, you know, or
Loki
right?
Yeah. There's like so many.
Like, the comic books have a habit of doing that. Like they'll kill off a character and they'll find a way to bring him back. But I don't see a way. Now I could be wrong about this, but I don't really see a way to bring Black Widow's character back based on what happened at Endgame.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so it's kind of interesting that way. It doesn't really move the plot forward, the overall plot of the MCU. The only thing that could possibly would be like the end credit scene. So I don't want to spoil that because obviously that can be spoiled. But it's also out there a lot too. If you Google, you can find out kind of what happens in the end credit scene, or you can go watch the movie and see what happens. And, you know, there's obviously going to be a tie-in to more things that happen in the MCU, but for the most part, it was just, a story that was kind of stands on its own. And it's interesting because it doesn't really lead into the next phase of the Marvel movies yet.
I think, I didn't really have any issues with it. There just wasn't anything that like I thought was like amazing or anything. But there was stuff that I liked about it. I think really the only little nitpick that I could say is sometimes the soundtrack kind of went like way, way too much. And it got like super, super intense at parts where like I felt like I was being a bit excessive. But I don't know. That's just a little nitpick.
Maybe that's because you haven't been to a comic book movie in the movie theater for so long. But
yeah, just, maybe
that happens in every one of those movies, I guarantee.
That's true. That's true. I think overall I give it like a high 6.
Yeah.
I still liked it overall, but
a high 6 out of 7?
Out of 10.
Okay. I'd probably give it, I don't know, a 7 or an 8. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I sort of feel like with all those movies, like I enjoy them while I'm watching them, and then I kind of forget about them afterwards, and that's fine because they're enjoyable. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was actually, I thought maybe part of it was I didn't really have high expectations, and I thought it was better than I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of MCU, though, we are now 5 episodes into Loki, which will only be 6 episodes, right? The next episode will be the finale.
Yeah, I think so.
And what do you think of Loki so far?
Loki's really good so far. I really like Loki.
I feel like with Loki, again, I'm not going to spoil anything. But if you don't want to hear anything about Loki, you haven't even started watching it yet, you might want to skip ahead. My feeling with Loki is a lot of it will turn on how good the final episode is.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the first 5 episodes have been set up. And it's been kind of crazy. I really liked the premiere. I thought the premiere was great.
Mm-hmm.
The second or third episode I thought were okay. I mean, they were enjoyable.
I really like the second episode.
I think the fourth episode was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best episodes. But I feel like a lot of it will depend on how good the finale is and how well it pays off, because so much of it's been like crazy setup.
Yeah, and
the
like,
last episode was really fun because you had all the weird Lokis, including Alligator Loki.
Yeah.
Seems to be a fan favorite.
Yeah, I feel like they're leaving a lot. Like, they're leaving a lot of plot for the finale. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of nervous about that. I feel like the finales for WandaVision and the finales for Falcon and Winter Soldier, neither of them are bad, but they did disappoint me in a few different ways. So I'm a bit nervous about this one's finale.
I really like the finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but
I had kind of mixed feelings.
So the fifth episode, the second to last episode at the very end, I felt like they were teasing something really significant, but we don't know what it is yet.
Yeah. Like, and I'm really excited to see what it is.
The location where they end up at the end of the episode is something probably really significant in the Marvel universe, but I didn't know what it was. I haven't tried to like Google to see fan theories or anything like that, but I sort of felt like there's something really important, or we're going to be introduced to like a really important, like a significant character or a significant location, but I don't have a clue what that is.
Or I'm wondering if we're going to be introduced to like a new, like overarching villain. Like I've heard rumors that like Galactus might be the next, like Thanos or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe whoever is the villain in the Eternals or something like that, or it'll like feed into the Eternals, or maybe the new Doctor Strange movie or something.
Yeah. I'm really excited for that. But it is really fun so far.
It's funny how we've come to expect that from the MCU, that like everything is going to be a setup for something else.
Yeah.
Like everything dovetails so well into something else.
It's really interesting how they managed to like set up everything, I think.
Yeah. What else has happened since our last podcast? So we didn't have the 4th of July. The 4th of July was a lot of fun. It was Elizabeth's birthday, so she was here to celebrate. We got a cake. We got presents. We didn't go out anywhere for 4th of July. I wonder, can we get in trouble for saying we did something illegal on the podcast?
I don't know. Probably not.
There were some fireworks that were lit.
Mm.
And the fireworks were maybe not 100% legal.
They're a little legal.
We did some sparklers. Sparklers are not technically legal in our town, but we did some sparklers. We lit some fireworks that made lots of sparks, and some of them went up into the air.
Mm.
It was kind of fun because we went to like a corner of our neighborhood, and we were there with some neighbors, the same neighbors that you all went and watched fireworks with last year.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And it was kind of funny because we were all being very careful, being very cautious. One of our neighbors like brought a fire extinguisher.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice that. And it was funny because she kept saying, like, we'd be out there lighting sparklers or fireworks. And whenever there was a car coming, she would say, scatter, scatter, everyone. It's okay. I'll take the fall.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was very funny.
Like, some of the kids would just go and, like, hide. Well, I mean, not really kids, but, like, I guess teenagers. They would just go, like, hide in the trees. And I'd be like, does this really make us look
on the sidewalk?
I thought really make us hiding look less in the sketchy? Trees
did seem kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
There was another like group of kids that like they saw us doing some fireworks and they like pulled up their car and got out and said, hey, we have some fireworks we wanted to do and we were looking for a place to do them. We live in the neighborhood. And so they kind of joined us. It was kind of fun.
It was fun, yeah.
We were pretty safe.
Yeah, I think we were.
Hopefully no one hears this podcast and shows up at my door and tries to arrest me for violating city ordinances. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, but it's not my problem.
It is not your problem. It is your problem if I get arrested, though. You know that?
I don't know.
Because I am currently funding your lifestyle.
That's true.
So it will become your problem. You and I,
man,
we're kind of intertwined.
Dang it. Dang it, Dad.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
For one thing, the authorities don't listen to this podcast. I know that because very few people listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I hope there aren't any FBI agents listening in.
It's pretty fun, though.
It was. It was a lot of fun. It was a good 4th of July.
Anything else exciting going on?
And this gets segue into our next segment eventually. But me and Henry had, I think we just... Sometimes, like when I get home from work or something, Henry will like walk up to me and go like, want a jam, or like want to do like a jam session or whatever. And we'll go upstairs and start like, usually I'm on either drums or synthesizer and Henry's on either guitar or bass.
Yeah. Like, we've talked about that before. You guys spend a lot of time jamming, playing instruments.
Yeah.
It's really fun to see.
It can be really fun.
A lot of times like the music's really good. I kind of enjoy kind of listening to it, and
thank you.
If it's a song I recognize, I'll be like, hey, I recognize that song. Last night you guys were playing something though that I didn't recognize, other than I sort of recognized as a standard blues jam.
Yeah, so
blues riff.
Yeah, so I told Henry like, hey, let's go like completely out of left field and like let's make some rhythm and blues, like old school like rhythm and blues. I don't know why I felt like doing it. I think because sometimes when I'm kind of just messing around with the piano or whatever, or like kind of making kind of blues or rhythm and blues style, just like improvising. So I made like a little rhythm and blues beat, and I told Henry to give me just like a fat beat or something. And I decided to just find lyrics, just because I didn't want to write my own lyrics. And
oh, you
so,
found lyrics? You were singing from a lyric sheet?
I think I was singing like off of my phone. But what we came up with was a rhythm and blues cover of I Love Kanye by Kanye West. Here we go. This is very weird.
I miss the old Kanye, straight from the go Kanye, chop up the soul Kanye, set on soul Kanye, I hate the new Kanye.
I just realized I left the metronome in. And then it gets like really crazy towards the end.
You guys were having a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. So we've created this masterpiece. I used to love Kanye, used to love Kanye, even had the control. I thought gets so crazy.
What if Kanye made a song about Kanye? But I miss the old Kanye, man, that'd be so Kanye.
Yeah, this is the part that gets super crazy.
We all love Kanye, everyone loves.
Anyways.
I think doing something a little bit crazy and weird is an important part of jamming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was actually thinking, like, I think it helps to make, like, just terrible stuff and, like, not really care about it and just make, like, not very serious stuff. Because it occurred to me that, like, I think it's good to just get used to doing that and just, like, get used to just putting yourself out there and just doing weird stuff.
I think sometimes that can be good for your creativity. Just realize it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even have to be good. You can just have fun.
Yeah. That's probably, like, out of just the demos where we did it all in one take and we didn't, like, layer different recordings, that's probably the most effort we've put into any one of them.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's just, like, a guitar riff and, like, some drums. But that one had, like, some vocals, like a piano loop, like some drums.
Yeah, you guys have also done some, like, recording your own music. And then one of the funniest projects that you guys did, I thought, was when you did Doofenshmirtz Incorporated. What is it?
Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
Yeah.
The little jingle.
You did some versions of that jingle that I thought were really funny.
Yeah, I want to make more, but we're trying to do, like, the Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated theme.
I would like you
in all genres
to do a bunch of them, and then we'll do them on the podcast sometime.
Yeah, we need to do that.
All right.
Definitely.
But for now, let's do some news.
Oh.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I've got a story from the world of science! Do you ever notice that the human brain sees faces and things? Like, a lot?
Yeah.
Do you do that a lot? I remember when I was a kid, at your age, I used to go to church in this building where the front of the church, like behind the, what do you call it? The church, the podium? There's a word for that. A pulpit.
Yeah.
Behind the pulpit, there was, and up on the stand, there was all this rock work, like stones. And I had like all of these faces that I would see like every week and I would stare at them.
Mm.
And then I would go back and I would see the same faces.
Yeah. And you can start to, like, kind of assign different personalities to different faces.
Exactly, personalities, emotions of all of those faces. And I haven't been to that church in probably, I don't know, because I, you know, moved away, obviously, and probably haven't been there in almost 40 years. But I wonder if I went back there, if I would immediately see the same faces and be like, hey, how's it been? How are you doing? But there is a study that was done. Apparently, what that is known as is face pareidolia. And there's a new study that's been done about how face pareidolia works.
Didn't know there's a name for it.
Yes. So scientists wanted to know whether the brain processes these imagined faces in the same way as real human faces. This is an article from, can't remember where I got this article from. Somewhere online. It's by David Neild. I don't have the website. Anyway, the research suggests that false faces that we see through pareidolia are processed in our brain the same way that a real face would be. The neural circuitry that is involved is the same as if we're looking at an actual human face, whether it's a tree stump or a TV remote. We use the same process we use for real faces. So this was, there was a psychologist from the University of Sydney, Australia, that was involved in the study. And he said, we know these objects are not truly faces, yet the perception of a face lingers. We end up with something strange, a parallel experience that is both a compelling face and an object, two things at once. The first impression of a face does not give way to the second perception of an object. He and his colleagues asked 17 volunteers to look at a series of a dozen illusory and human faces, repeated several times over, then rate the strength of the emotion of each through the same computer software. So you look at emotions, you look at a face that's not really a face, it's just something that happens to look like a face, and then you say what emotion you think that the face has.
Ah, cool.
And there are pictures in the article. Look at some of these. I can definitely see it. Like, some of them look angry, some of them look sad, some look happy.
It's weird how much those look like faces.
Yeah, I mean, they purposely picked ones that actually look like faces. But the researchers found that most participants agreed on the expressions of the faces, and that there's also something of a bias where if you see like three happy faces in a row, you're more likely to see the next face you see as happy. And that works with non-human faces too, like faces that aren't really faces.
Oh, weird.
The psychologist Elias said, pareidolia faces are not discarded as false detections, but undergo a facial expression analysis the same way as real faces. We need to read the identity of the face and discern its expression. Are they friend or foe? Are they happy, sad, angry, or pained? So the reason that we do this, they hypothesize, is because it's like a survival instinct. So when you're in a crowd, you have to read the expressions of people around you to know, like, are people around me angry? Are they happy? You know, am I in danger?
Yeah.
Am I safe? And we do that with faces that aren't really faces, too.
That's interesting.
What they think is that the objects that look face-like, it's more than interpretation. We're really driving our brain's face detection network. So that scowl or smile, that's your brain's facial expression system at work. For the brain, fake or real, faces are processed in the same way. It's something that's really weird. Like, it totally happens. Whenever you see something that looks even a little bit like a face, your mind just locks into that and goes, oh, like that light switch is smiling at me or whatever.
Yeah, you know? And while you were reading that, like, I kept on like looking around to find faces. Like, the little face on the outlet looks kind of concerned.
Yeah, it does. Like, it looks concerned or horrified. The little three-prong outlet. It's true. It's pretty funny. There's a Twitter account that I like called Faces and Things.
Oh, yeah.
Where it shows, like, that. Just accidental faces, and some of them are really funny, and they have expressions, little expressions. But it's funny that our brain is wired to do that, and kind of an interesting area of research for scientists.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right.
Want to share your story?
All right. This says, Ukraine's inseparable couple ditches the handcuffs and parts ways. So this couple from Ukraine handcuffed themselves for 123 days, like, voluntary. And it says that they basically were trying to save this, like, kind of on and off relationship that was just kind of rough, I guess. By handcuffing themselves for 123 days, it's kind of a little experiment.
That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
Someone you're not getting along with really well, you decide to handcuff yourself to them.
Especially when you have to, like, I don't know, like, go through your day and stuff.
Yeah. It also sounds like they did it a little bit as a stunt. Because they publicized it too, right?
Yeah, they did. It says they documented on growing social media following. They did everything together, from grocery shopping to cigarette breaks. It says they took turns to use the bathroom and take showers. I don't know, like, how long the handcuff was.
Well, I guess you just, you know, reach out your arm and, I don't know.
Dang. That's pretty hardcore.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. So it says one of them initially resisted the handcuff idea, but said, I think it will be a good lesson for us, for other Ukrainian couples and abroad, not to repeat what we have done.
Yeah. Learn from our mistake.
Yeah. She said that personal space is what she missed most.
Although
she also felt like her boyfriend,
because you're handcuffed to someone.
Although she also felt like her boyfriend did not pay her enough attention while they were chained together.
That is the funniest part of the whole article. Like, I'm handcuffed to this person 24 hours a day for 123 days, and yet you're not even paying attention to me, are you?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
And the fact that, like, I don't know, I guess they couldn't get it together because they still split after. So, yeah. They must have just been, like, really, really sick of each other by the end.
I bet. I mean, even someone you really like, you don't want to be handcuffed to all day long.
Yeah. So, one of them said, "We stayed together all day. I did not receive any attention from Alexander because we were constantly together. He did not tell me I miss you." Well, I would like to hear that. Okay, yeah.
And I guess, yeah, it's weird to hear that. Obviously, no one's going to say I miss you because you're handcuffed to them.
Yeah, like, I don't
How
even...
How can you miss someone that you're handcuffed to?
I mean, I don't even think a husband and wife would want to be... I don't think anyone would want to be handcuffed together for 123 days.
Everyone needs to be able to go off into another room for just a minute, right?
Yeah, actually, I feel like if anyone is going to do this experiment, it should at least be, like, a married couple or something.
And the weird thing is, I guess they didn't have the key to the handcuffs, so once they put them on, they couldn't get them off because it says they, like... had to have someone with, like, bolt cutters cut it. And they did that on social media, of course.
Yeah.
But they... So I guess they were sleeping with the handcuffs on as well.
It must have been really satisfying to finally, like, cut it off.
I'm sure. And also, at the same time, they broke up and it was like, well, I guess I'll be seeing you, but maybe not.
Oh, and it does say, they had the bonds written from Ukrainian TV news channels and a representative from a Ukrainian record book. Who said no couple in the world had managed a similar feat. So this is like a world record.
Yeah, that's one that might stick around for a while. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't want to break that world record.
Yeah.
The one we talked about a few weeks ago about stacking M&Ms, like five M&Ms on top of each other. I might spend a little time trying to break that one. I'm not going to try to spend any time breaking the one where I have to be handcuffed to someone for 124 days.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe if the handcuff was like really, maybe if the chain was really, really, really long.
But yeah, yeah. It feels like that's cheating though.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. That's pretty crazy though.
That is pretty crazy. I've got one last story. Weird things have been happening on airplanes. And I don't know if it's just because my news feed is feeding me the weird stories, but there were a couple of stories that came out this last week that are really strange. There was one... And I feel like I'm missing something about this story because none of the news stories told the whole circumstance. Mm-hmm. But apparently there was an American Airlines flight to Miami. It left Los Angeles and was flying to Miami. And for the last 45 to 60 minutes, the passengers were all told they had to put their hands on their heads. And no one could talk and no one could film. Like, no one could take any pictures or film it, but they had to put their hands on their head.
That'd be hard to keep for, like, 45 to 60 minutes.
I know. Isn't that just... And plus, it would be a little terrifying. They said it was for a security reason, but they didn't explain what the security reason was.
Maybe they thought that someone had, like, a gun or something?
I don't, yeah, apparently there was some sort of a threat, but they didn't say what the security threat was. So everyone had to put their hands on their head for like the last hour of the flight. That would be pretty stressful.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be weird and stressful?
Well, yeah, and obviously the most stressful thing is like for that long, knowing that there's some sort of threat in the airplane.
Yeah, and then your mind would go a little crazy thinking, well, is there someone with a bomb? Is there someone with a gun? Are we going to be attacked? Are we under attack? That would be an incredibly stressful flight. There's something about, and I actually enjoy flying on airplanes. I enjoy traveling.
Yeah, it can
but
be nice.
Any airplane flight, there's like a low level of stress involved, right? Because you're in an airplane, you know, something could go wrong. You're always a little bit relieved when you land and they open up the cabin. But, you know, sometimes when there's like turbulence, that can be a little stressful.
Mm, yeah, the turbulence can kind of freak me out sometimes.
But having to be in the last hour of the flight with your hands on your heads, like as you go into the descent. I don't know. That would be really stressful.
That would be
very strange. So that was one story. Then there was another one and I didn't pull this story, but this one's also very bizarre. There was another flight where a woman was duct taped to her chair and there wasn't a lot of explanation given to this either, but this one also kind of took off on social media.
Wait, did like the airlines do that?
Apparently the airlines did it because this woman was freaking out and she was yelling like constantly for about an hour and a half. And it looked like she was trying to open one of the cabin doors. And okay. In response to that, they like duct taped her mouth shut and they duct taped her to her chair.
That's weird.
Really weird, right?
I'm wondering if like... I'm wondering if it would be like slight, even like more ethical to just like inject her with like tranquilizer or something.
I mean, that would also be very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and this blew up on social media because some of the people on the flight mentioned it. And one of the people on the flight said, well, they just did what they had to do under the circumstances. Because a lot of people were like, that's terrible. I can't believe they would do this to this woman.
It's pretty terrible. I'm trying to think of like...
But I guess she was acting very strangely.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like what else they could do. Like, could they like... I don't know.
I mean, you hear about flights all the time where they have to like divert the flight and land it somewhere because a passenger is being unruly. But this sounds like it was beyond that.
Yeah, like do they just... I don't know, like... Do they just, like, offer her, like, some melatonin or something? Like,
I don't know. Very strange. It seems that had something to do with her being mentally ill or, you know, having a... very, very weird. Again, they didn't give a lot of the details of exactly what caused it.
Yeah.
But so weird. I don't know.
That is and really weird.
Most flights, obviously, things like this don't happen. But these two things happen kind of almost at the same... On the same day, almost. Or within a few days of each other. And it makes me think, there's some weird things going on commercial airline flights right now.
Some sort of omen, yeah. Was it like American Airlines at one point that started like kicking people off the plane because they had too many passengers or something?
Well, they've done that before. You know, all airlines do that. They overbook the flights and then they look for volunteers to come off. And if they don't get enough volunteers, they have to like remove people from the flight. It's not a good situation.
Begin. Yeah.
Both of these incidents were on American Airlines. I think, and I fly mostly American because they are out of Dallas, like the DFW is one of their hubs. They're located here. I think when you guys are going to family reunions, you're going to leave a little early and then I'm taking a flight. I think I'm flying on Delta. I can't remember. I think I got a flight on Delta, so I won't be on
Delta
American.
Delta is pretty nice.
But weird things can happen on any airline, so.
Yeah, and I guess like a disclaimer, like this is like a really, really rare occurrence.
Yeah.
Like it's
hopefully
like not going to happen to any of our listeners, I'd say.
I don't know which one would freak me out. Like which of these flights would be worse. Somehow like having the crew tell me that I had to keep my hands on my head for an hour. Maybe that one would be worse. I don't know.
Yeah, that one would definitely be worse. Because then like if it's just like one person, like I don't know. The one with the duct tape, I guess would also be a little scary to watch.
A little disturbing, right?
Yeah, to watch like a mentally ill person just get duct taped by the passenger, by the airline people. Yeah, I feel like if any like members of an airline told me that I like had to like jump off the airline with like a parachute or something, I feel like I would like fight them on that. Like I would either just like panic like so much they have to choose someone else or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I could never like jump off a airplane.
Yeah. Let's do a segment we have not done in quite some time. Let's do What You're Listening To.
What You're Listening To?
I don't think you like it.
Well, why not? I like this new generation of music.
Henry's joining us for What You're Listening To. So we started this segment a long time ago for like, I think Phoebe wanted to share some music that she was listening to. Over the pandemic especially, it seems like you boys have gotten super into music. More than you used to be. You've always listened to music, but I think you've gotten a lot more into it.
Definitely.
And Will called for this segment, but when I mentioned it, Henry also wanted to participate. So I don't really have anything prepared. I've got like maybe one or two things I could talk about, but why don't you guys talk about what you want to talk about? Share with us kind of what music you've been listening to.
All right. So I've decided that this is kind of part of the, like, Zoomer initiation. Like, you're not a true Zoomer unless you've done this. But I have started listening to Kanye. speaking of Kanye.
Yeah, we played the Kanye Rhythm and Blues jam that you guys recorded last night.
Featuring
a little bit.
That was very interesting.
He did some good drums, I have to say. But I've kind of been going through the discography in order. I've only listened all the way through to Kanye's first two albums, but I did really, really like them. They're very, like, kind of old school hip hop. I think I definitely like old school hip hop, as long as it's not too cheesy.
Let me know if you want to play anything and I'll pull it up on my phone.
Oh, yeah. I really liked Touch the Sky off of Late Registration. I think Late Registration might be... I've only listened to the first two, but that might be my favorite album so far.
Yeah, I've also been getting a bit into Kanye. I've listened to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and Late Registration, and
there's like a clean version
album.
And a non-clean version, right?
Yeah, so the clean version, obviously. That's a nice thing, is he posts a clean version for all of them. I gotta testify, come up in the spot looking extra
fly. I do know this song. Now I recognize it when it's playing.
Yeah.
I don't know all of the names of all the songs. This is like the most dad thing to say.
Yeah. I don't know. I just really like his production. And he has like a pretty good flow to his rapping too.
It's one of his early songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's off of the second album.
Yeah. Now let's go.
I think that was like 2002, right?
Something like that. It was somewhere in the 2000s.
I think it was 2002.
Or it was like 2004, maybe? I don't know.
Wait, one second.
Maybe we'll take turns. Henry, what have you been listening to?
I've actually been getting really into like a lot of like 2000s indie rock. So like...
Yeah.
I've been getting into like a lot of The Strokes and Interpol, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or like The White Stripes. Maybe you could play like the song... Oh, in particular, I really like the song...
So basically just a lot of post-punk revival.
Yeah, like that whole era. Mm-hmm. In specific, I really like the song I Can't Win by The Strokes.
It's funny because we were...
Oh, sorry, I forgot about... Sorry. I always forget, like, when I try to play a song off of their album Room on Fire, I always forget that there's, like, a solid 6 seconds of silence before every song.
Yeah,
so
what's
kind of funny.
That? Is that just on Spotify, or...?
That's just in general. That's just a thing on the album, which is really funny.
Just have choice.
Big old spaces between the songs. It was funny, we were driving around the other day, and I was looking for something up in Elizabeth's room. Oh, I was looking trying to help her find her social security card, because she just got a job. But, when I was looking through a drawer for a social security card, I came across one of my old mix CDs. So I used to make these mix CDs and we'd play them like in the car while we were driving around.
I think I've seen that.
And I made a mix CD for like when we were looking for a house in Frisco. When moved to this house like 9 years ago.
It's a pretty good mix.
It was called House Hunting Mix. And it's been so long since I'd heard it, I didn't even remember what was on it. We were playing it. And it was funny when we were playing it and I was driving around in the car with Henry. Henry was like, wait, you listen to this song? Because it was like,
yeah, there were a couple of songs that was like, oh wait, I grew up on this song.
But you had forgotten about it, and then you kind of rediscovered it.
Yeah, I didn't really realize until, and I'm not as into The Strokes as Henry is, but sometimes Henry will play a Strokes song and I'll be like, hey, we listened to this growing up. Like, I didn't realize how many Strokes songs we had listened to.
I remember the first time I listened to their first album, It's a Sit, like, there were a couple of songs that were just sort of, like, weird to listen to, because I was like, oh, yeah, I was raised on that song, wasn't I?
Yeah. That's the weird thing about rediscovering an album, is being like, hey, I've heard this song before.
One song that, or one, some new music I've been listening to, there's an artist that just came out with an album, Faye Webster, and... This is a lot like a lot of the music I listen to. It's kind of a little bit folk, a little bit indie. Let's sit around and drink some soda. But she just came out with an album called I Know I'm Funny, Ha Ha. And this is the song,
yeah,
I Know I'm Funny, Ha Ha.
You're playing this album in the car earlier this week.
Yeah. But it's pretty good. It's got a little bit of a, almost an alt-country vibe to it, some of it.
Yeah.
Or like an old... kind of 60s pop vibe, but then also it's good.
I have noticed a lot of modern indie right now is like kind of stripped down, kind of simple, like singer-songwriter stuff, a lot of it.
Yeah, and a lot of it seems like a lot of solo artists will use that voice, like a very similar voice to that when they're singing.
I will say, me and Henry, this is also kind of a Zoomer initiation thing. Me and Henry are Tame Impala fans.
Yep. It's a very Zoomer thing.
I feel like Tame Impala is something that like a lot of people my age listen, maybe a little younger, maybe like kind of a lot of millennials. So
yeah,
I'm a Gen Tame Xer, Impala, you guys are Gen Z. A lot of millennials are like into Tame Impala.
Because they started out like kind of, it was started out as like a neo-psychedelic rock band. But on his last two albums, he got really like throwback 80s disco, which I really like.
But I think you and Henry like Tame Impala more than I do, is fair to say. I'm starting to enjoy some of it.
But it's always funny when like we'll be playing a playlist and you're like, and then like a Tame Impala song will come on and you'll skip it. it's just always funny to me.
I like the stuff that's a little more song oriented, a little more melodic.
Yeah, that's why I prefer
the stuff that's more just sort of psychedelic and repetitive.
Sometimes I
can enjoy it if I'm in the right mood.
That's why I prefer his last two albums over Lonerism or Inner Speaker, because it's
actually that's more what, of a beat that's to it. That's sort of why I prefer Lonerism and Inner Speaker a little bit. Like I sort of have to be in the right mood for.
Should I play a little bit so we know what we're talking about?
All right.
What would be a good Tame Impala song to share?
Borderline, maybe?
Sure, let's do Borderline. Yeah, that's a fun one. This is off his latest album.
Came out in 2020, I think.
He's just really good at, like, just packing, like, a lot of different styles in there. Like, this is obviously, like, 80s disco, but it's also very poppy and, like, it can be, like, a radio hit. I mean, I think it is a radio hit.
This does sound very disco-ish to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like how now he's making more like pop hits, which I really like. And then I think the one last thing I'll say is me and Henry are also, and this is something we've been for the past few months, probably about as long as we've been Tame Impala fans, but we are super into Radiohead now.
I've been to Radiohead for longer.
Radiohead is a band that a lot of Gen Xers were into.
But
that I like okay, but I never really got like into. Like, I think I bought the album OK Computer and I listened to it a few times, but I never really got like, oh man, it's the best thing that's ever been recorded.
Yeah, and I think Kid A is their best album personally. That's just me. Everyone might have a different favorite album. But I think every fan of like alternative or indie music has, if they're like hardcore enough fans.
Any like hardcore fan of music has heard of Radiohead or even just heard Radiohead.
That just knows rock music, because they were pretty, I think they were at one point, maybe in the late 90s, early 2000s, they were probably the biggest band.
Mm.
There was probably one year where they were the biggest band in rock music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kid A has become like a top five album for me. Like that album is amazing.
I feel like Radiohead's one of those artists.
Well, actually, I was going to bring up
I feel like Radiohead's one of those artists that's just like, if you're a music nerd, then they're just like an essential band.
They're a very like music nerd band.
What song should I be playing? The top five on Spotify, Creep is number one, which everyone knows. That's sort of like their pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first big song they had off their first album.
And they're super like,
and then there are two songs from OK Computer and two songs from The Bends.
Yeah, I was going to bring up, I told Henry, I've been telling Henry that he really needs to listen to Hail to the Thief.
It's pretty good album.
A really good album. And when he first listened to it, he listened to the first song and then paused it halfway through the second song and told me like, holy crap.
It wasn't halfway through the second song. It was at the beginning of the second song. I just listened to the first one.
Yeah, okay, but he like ran up to me.
We have to play something. This is
okay, so probably not the first song of Hail to the Thief, since that one's kind of long. You have to listen to the whole thing. So probably like Paranoid Android, I guess.
Oh yeah, that's one of the most popular ones. Okay. That's also, I mean, Paranoid Android's like this, it's like a 6.5 minute,
I mean, it's also a long one, but it sort of goes through like different sections.
I do like this song. This might be one of my favorite Radiohead songs.
Probably one of my favorite too. It's a really good one. It has like different like tonal shifts. It's kind of prog in that way.
Yeah.
Like right now it's just kind of like unsettling, but later it gets into like kind of hard rock.
You fast forwarded at the
same
right
song
part.
Sounds different.
Yeah, Radiohead has like two different styles. One is like very artistic, kind of like
slightly unsettling, and
like kind of progressive, like art rock. And another one is this like kind of ambient, like ghosty, like experimental pop.
But also just kind of rocking out.
Yeah, yeah. Kid A is one of their more, like, experimental pop ones that gets kind of ambient.
Yeah.
I really like them, though. Hot take.
Henry, anything else?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I like music.
Music, good. Pretty good.
We all like music. Yeah. Music helps. 10 out of 10. I feel like music helps you get through life.
Oh, yeah.
Is that too deep?
I've had this little, like, sentiment in my head I've always been thinking, which is that all of those motivational teacher posters about music, all of them are correct. Like, everything that hippies say about music, how, like, you can, like, connect it and it, like, speaks to your soul and stuff, that's all completely true. Music is awesome.
Have you ever met someone that says, yeah, I don't really like music?
Yeah, I hear that all the time.
And, like, it's very suspicious when someone says something like that.
Yeah. And, like, no one has...
Like, and I get, like, maybe not being super into music, but how can you not, like music?
Yeah.
It's like people who say, I don't really like eating food.
Yeah, like, you don't have to be, like, I don't know, posting on Rate Your Music all the time or whatever.
Right.
But, like, yeah, everyone needs to listen to at least a little bit of music. If you don't listen to music, you need to find music to listen to.
Yeah. So that is what you're listening to. There's only one last thing to do on the podcast. And that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
You want to stick around for treat yourself, Henry?
Sure.
All right. We've got what appears to be a somewhat healthy treat yourself this time. Hmm. These are called crispy fruit. They are freeze-dried fruit snacks. And we have them in four different flavors. We have tangerine.
Just to clarify, not like fruit snacks, like the gummy kind, like fruit that is a snack.
Actual slices of fruit that have been freeze-dried.
Sounds interesting.
So we've got tangerine, pineapple.
Tangerine one.
Cantaloupe. I've never had freeze-dried cantaloupe. That seems really strange.
Yeah, that does seem
sounds like something that you bring, like, on a super hardcore five-day camp out.
And mango.
Hmm.
The packages are really pretty. Maybe I'll take a picture.
Yeah, I like the packaging.
We picked these up at H Mart, but I don't think they're necessarily, like, Korean or Japanese or Chinese.
This is some, like, astronaut food right here.
Yeah. Which one should we try first? So tangerine, pineapple, mango, and cantaloupe.
Let's try the mango first.
Okay.
I don't know why, but...
And these claim that they are 100% fruit, so there are no other ingredients, just the fruit that's been freeze-dried.
I mean, I'd hope.
And they come in, like, when you open the package, there's, like, a smaller package inside, like, little snack-sized packages, so I'm just going to open one of them. Pass it around. They kind of stick in your teeth.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think pretty they're good. Delicious.
They're kind of like a...
I also think they're delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Might give them a really high okay, just because... a critic in the room. But they taste like just kind of crunchy chips that are flavored mango. They're pretty good.
They're good.
I like them. You know, the... anything freeze-dried, it's like you crunch into it, and then it sort of dissolves.
Yeah,
I kind of like that feeling.
Good texture.
That's the deal with, like, the freeze-dried ice cream, the astronaut ice cream that you can get, like, I don't know.
I haven't tried that in the longest time.
Let's do the pineapple next.
I feel like I'm kind of excited for the pineapple. Pineapple might be, like, one of my favorite fruits.
I do like that they come in smaller little packages so that I'm not, like, you know, ruining a whole package by trying just a few. What do you guys think?
I don't know. It's just pretty dry. I think freeze-drying it does remove a little bit of flavor. Not, like, a crazy amount, but I think I'd give that an okay.
I'll give that delicious.
There's a weird guy. There's a mascot for this company.
Oh, no.
And it looks like a tree with a big apple head.
And then, like, a cape that's actually a leaf.
And he's holding up it looks really yellow weird. Bird. It's very strange.
Yeah. We don't need mascots for everything.
The mascot kind of freaks me out, to be honest. But
yeah, why do we need mascots?
Maybe for that, I'll lower it to you.
These are from China. And they are manufactured exclusively for Krispy Kreme in Fairfield, New Jersey. So I don't know. Maybe they're an American product that was manufactured in China.
Probably.
Like everything
so
else.
So yeah, I'll get this delicious, despite the mascot.
And okay. I mean, it's not a meh or gross.
I also thought it was delicious. We got the same ratings we had last time. We got two deliciouses and an okay. Let's try the tangerine.
These I'm really curious about.
Okay, I was wondering how they were going to do tangerine, if they do like slices, but they are sections.
Yeah, they look like sections of tangerine. They look like if you opened up an orange and you took a little section out, but
except
just like dried out.
Freeze dried, yeah.
Yeah, I'll get that one okay.
I think, oh wow, I think these are delicious. This is the best one yet.
I also thought it was delicious, so we still have two deliciouses.
Yum, 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 yum.
And one okay.
Inverted.
Kind of. Is it because you're not a big fan of oranges?
Yeah.
Oh, I really like oranges.
It's just the taste.
No, this one kind of tastes like it's like orange soda flavored.
But I still don't like it.
The last one, this is the one that I'm most curious about, is the fruit.
Although I do
freeze-dried
think
okay. cantaloupe. So freeze-dried melon.
Yeah, this would be weird. Let's
see how this works out. What do you think of the freeze-dried cantaloupe?
It's pretty weird, but I kind of like
that's
it.
That's weird, but I do
that's
like
pretty
it.
Pretty good, yeah. That's like a light delicious.
I like it.
Yeah, I'll give it delicious
everyone,
too.
Oh, this one got three
yum,
deliciouses.
Yum, 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 yum.
Like a low delicious, but yeah, delicious, definitely.
I think overall these are all really good.
I really like them. They all taste like the fruit they are, which apparently is 100% of what it is. They all have just one ingredient.
I think the taste of the cantaloupe definitely like lingers in your mouth the most.
Yeah. I think the amount which I like them, like if I had to rank these, it would probably be mango from top to bottom, mango, pineapple, cantaloupe, then tangerine.
Yeah.
These would probably be a good healthy car snack. Maybe you guys should take them when you go on your car trip.
I don't know. I think there's better snacks to get, but
well, there definitely are.
I don't really have any complaints, so they're pretty good. I don't know. I don't have much to say on it. It's just freeze-dried fruit. They're definitely not like disgusting.
They're really tasty.
Anything.
I would buy these again. I think they're delicious.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
You can also use freeze-dried fruit in cooking or like baking.
Oh, I don't know.
There's
that.
A thing you can do. I've done it before with like you can stabilize whipped cream by crushing up freeze-dried fruit and adding it to whipped cream.
Oh,
you
weird.
Make like strawberry whipped cream, or this could be like pineapple whipped cream.
Oh, that's really cool, actually.
And it stabilizes it, makes it, you can use it as like a frosting for cakes. But anyway, yeah, I liked them all. I thought they were all delicious. You guys thought they were either delicious or okay.
Yeah,
on every
good.
Single one. And I don't know, that was pretty good. So that is Treat Yourself. And that is our podcast. Thank you, Henry, for joining us for
thank you.
What you're listening to and Treat Yourself. Thank you, Will, for being on the podcast today.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talkdadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at TalkDad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook or at TTD Podcast on Twitter. If you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about our family-friendly podcast. The other thing you can do is you can leave us a good review. If you leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast, that'll help other people be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.